Very glad to be back. All the supporting church, thank you. Thank you so very much. Just a little bit of a reflection on some of the things that have happened since we have been here last. We were in Dominica, and there I had a kidney stone attack. But it was right after we had built a puppet stage. Just finished building that, and all of a sudden it hit me. But one thing about that church, they were very enthusiastic about doing puppets. So we left four puppets there for them to use, and they just can't wait to get started. And just recently, we shipped down, I don't know how many Bibles, 50 or 60 Bibles, because the Bibles that they had in the pews were just all ripped up and pages missing, and it's just terrible. So I told them that we'd take care of that. A friend of mine gave me some Gideon Bibles. He said they're just sitting there, and we sent those down to the pastor there. We were also in Barbados. You know, this is the second time we've been down there. And we had a wonderful time as well. And then we had a little trip. It wasn't too long, about 17 hours. We finally ended up in Africa. And we spoke to a number of children there in a school. And Karen taught the people there how to do puppets. And so we had a great time as well at that place. And finally, we just came from some meetings down in Oklahoma. We've been going there for 19 straight years. And the director of the camp said, for all the times that I have been there, talking about himself, he said, these were the worst kids that I've ever seen. And sure enough, we tell them to do something, they did just the opposite. You know, I never figured I should have done that. I should have tried telling them to do the wrong thing. Maybe they would have done the right thing. But they were just bad. So we had a lot of people pray about these meetings. Karen had it put on the internet. And so the last day came, and sure enough, they were bad as usual. But when we gave the invitation, there were more kids that made decision, I think in one day, than the 19 years that we had the camp. And these kids really meant it. Karen was telling about one girl that she was crying because she wanted to go home. She was homesick. We kind of encouraged her to stay, and she came to know the Lord, and she was a different girl, they said. We showed some pictures of the places that we've been, like Russia and China and things like that. And we talked just a couple of minutes about them. And later we heard, anyway, of a girl that said, when I get older, I would like to be a missionary in China. Just from showing those pictures, you know. So thank you for your prayers. They are much needed, and God answers prayers, doesn't he? Well, when I was down in college, I was in ROTC. I never made it into the service. I think it was the Lord's mistake. I wasn't going to remind the people that they forgot me, because God led me right into the ministry after that. But I was down there in ROTC, Air ROTC, and, well, we figured a long time ago that it would be good to get into the service, so I had to go as an officer. But then they changed things that if you wore glasses, you couldn't go on any further because they were just looking for pilots. At the time, I did wear glasses, so that stopped me from going any further. But one thing I learned how to march. And it was fun. I enjoyed that. Column right, march. Column left, to the left flank, march. About, face, you know. To the rear, march. All these different signals. And what you had to do is to listen and keep your mind on what the instructor or the leader was saying. If he said column right, if you went left, you were in trouble. So it was enjoying to do these things. So today we're going to talk about right, talk about left, forward, behind us, and a few others thrown in between. First of all, we want to talk about right. And at God's right, we find the sheep. And these are those who belong to the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Those who have believed in their hearts that Christ died on the cross for their sin, and they've trusted the Lord as Savior. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and we know that He gave His life for the sheep. A lot of things about sheep that I'm sure you know from hearing sermons about sheep. One thing, if they are in a great big plain with other sheep that belong to different shepherds, if one particular shepherd would call them, just those sheep that belong to that particular shepherd would come. You couldn't drive them, you had to leave them. And you know the Bible verse, oh, we like sheep have gone astray. So many times the shepherd had to go out looking for the sheep and bring them back. A shepherd, since he cares for the sheep, would oftentimes have to sleep at the entrance to the den. Because if not, the wild beast would come and that would be the end of the sheep. Because the sheep can't defend himself. It's probably the weakest, I guess. So there are so many things that we can say about sheep. But we are people's sheep. And so we're going to be on the right hand of God, on His right hand. And just like when the shepherd would call the sheep, and from that plain, a certain number of them would come and follow the shepherd. One day we know that there's going to be a call from heaven. And all of us people's sheep, from all over the world, will rise and meet the Lord in the air. So sheep have to do, people's sheep that is, being right. So let's talk about right for a few minutes. First of all, in Psalm 98:1, it says that His right and holy arm have gained the victory for us. When you see the right hand in the scripture, it always denotes strength. This is talking about God's strength. Because He had to have that strength to take on our sin on His body. And then when He died, He had to have that strength again, to come back to life again. He said that He had the power to give His life and to also raise it up again. If not, we could not be His people's sheep. So He gained the victory for us by His death and resurrection on the cross. And Psalm 33:4 says, but the word of God is right and true. We can base our lives on it. All of our circumstances, if we need an answer to some kind of problem, we can find it in God's word. It's all true. And when we obey it, then we walk in the right direction. And we do what God wants us to do. Psalm 51:10 says, renew a right spirit within me. We know the story how King David sinned terribly. But this verse is in there because, like I said, the verses in God's word are for everybody. It answers our need when we have a need. So if we stray and we get off the path and we recognize that, we can pray even like that. Renew a right spirit within me. That which is in me that will keep me on that right track. And then in Proverbs 14:12, talks about a person that doesn't really know the Lord. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are lots of people like that, that make up their own laws. Ah, that Bible, you know, it's full of fairy tales. It's filled with all kinds of different things that really are not any good. So they make up their own laws. What's the end? What's the end result? Death. In the lake of fire, you see. And so, a lot of people are in the world like that. And who's got to reach them for Christ? Well, certain missionaries can't do that because they're located in a different field. Karen and I, we talk to boys and girls. Well, that leaves all of us that are here. We live in a certain section. Each person is in a different area. And so that is your mission field, to tell them the good news of the gospel. Well, after that, if you follow the progression just a wee bit, when a person makes up his own laws and say, ah, oh, God's up there in heaven someplace, if there is one, and he's just sitting in the clouds, you know, then the next progression is that he says there is no God. And what does the Bible say about that? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the verse that goes with that, Proverbs 12:15, a fool is right in his own eyes. You're not going to tell me, you know, this is the way I've been doing it. This is the way I'm going to do it. It's a shame. But God still can change the hardest person. Amen. All right. We move on, and let's talk just a couple more here about what they thought of Jesus when he died on the cross. Luke 23:47, this is the centurion. He said, certainly this was a righteous man. Even though people mocked him and said he was wrong and spit upon him, they could find no fault. Even the man there was pronouncing all these things against Jesus, Pilate. He said, I find no fault in him. The centurion said this was a righteous man. Quite a difference between the one that says, I don't believe in God. I go my own way, you see. Now there is verses here. One in Isaiah 41:13 says, the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand. You know, I did something foolish. Twice, I went into my van and I turned on the key because I wanted to leave, listen to something. I forgot the reason. Left the key there with an on position. Came back and the battery was dead. You think I did it once? I did it twice. Same thing. So what did I have to do? I took our car, put it alongside of the van, cut out the battery cables, attached them up, and the electricity from the car went into the battery there, and the car started right up. Well, I think that's what it's saying right here. The Lord thy God will hold thy right hand. That electricity and power from his hand goes into your life so that you can be a witness for him. And we know the verse, too, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. This is for us, not just for, you know, the pastor that stands in front of all of you, but for each of us. God's power is available. Well, just a couple more here. Here's one. It says, I bet you never heard this one before. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Yeah, sure, it's talking about boys and girls. That's for certain. Because this is the right thing to do. But who is up there? Our Heavenly Father. So we are his children. Therefore, we should obey what he tells us to do. Well, they were building the wall a long time ago. They came back and started to rebuild the wall. Sanballat and his cronies, they tried to interfere. So Nehemiah said, in Nehemiah 2:20, you have no portion or right in these matters. And a person who is not a Christian has no right at all. He is still in his sin. He's not a child of God. He could talk till he's blue in the face and God does not have to hear. It's like that Pharisee that came into the house of God and he talked and told how good he was. And he offered some kind of a prayer, went up to the ceiling, came down right at his feet. It was not heard. Only the prayer of receiving Christ as Savior, that prayer of repentance, of talking to the Lord and say, God, come into my life. He hears that prayer. And then from then on, he hears the prayers of every believer. I like this one too. This is the last one on right. 2 Chronicles 14:2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Not in the eyes of man, like that Pharisee, you know, but in the eyes of the Lord. Now, it shows us that God has eyes to see what we are doing.
Amen.
And therefore, we should do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And then when we do that, certainly other people will be affected by it, and they will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Left. On the left of the Lord, we find the goats. Do you ever look at a goat? You know, you look at him, he seems to be a kind of a proud animal. He's something like a rooster. A rooster struts around. A goat is something like that. And these are those who don't know the Lord as Savior. And they're proud, you know, they pat themselves in the back because they're righteous in their own sight, you see. But the end thereof are the ways of death. But you know, these goats that are pictured here, some of them can be saved. We're not too bad to be saved. Oh, yes, we are bad before we come to know Christ. But in His sight, we're not that bad because He can save us, and He does. And some of these goats, before they become goats like this, can be saved. And it's up to us, you know, to spread forth the gospel message. Luke 5:28. He left all and followed Him. That was Matthew. And boy, he would say, hey, this guy, he was a tax collector. And yet, he could be saved. And he was. And he followed the Lord. Well, then there's a sad one here. It says in Revelation 2:4, thou hast left thy first love. You know, being a Christian is like going up a ladder. We go up one rung at a time, you know. And way up in the top is where we should be, and here we are at the bottom. We start climbing up, and all of a sudden something catches our eye, and we get off that straight and narrow, and we sin. So what happens? We plop on down and have to start over again. Where you sin is where you got to start over again. And so it is for us to keep our eyes on the Lord once again. Okay, we talk briefly about left. We talk more about right. But Jesus is our shepherd, and we are to follow behind Him. So Matthew 4:20 says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I think we mentioned that in Sunday school. Fishers of men. But what has to be done? We have to follow the Lord in order for this to happen. People in our neighborhood, they need Christ. They're not too bad to be saved. They're there. We have to be fishers of men. He says, follow me. He does not say, if you feel like following me, then that's okay. No, here it is. Follow me. The next verse is a little stronger, maybe. Matthew 19:21. Come and follow me. It's imperative that we do that. Not if you feel like it, but come and follow me. Mark 8:34. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. Which shows us there are going to be some hard parts that we have to go through. Maybe some really hard parts. We don't know. As we look at the world situation today, we find that things are going from bad to worse. And not like this fellow in Matthew 8:19, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. But he didn't mean it. We have to be willing to follow him even though circumstances might be upsetting and things going wrong, we can make it through with God's help. Okay, now who is before us? Jesus is before us. And he's the one that is fighting our battles for us. He uses us, but he is the one that follows our battles. This is a good verse. It's an excellent verse found in Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of me. He will be with you. See, he is ahead of us, and he will be with you. He will not fail you. Boy, there's three things there. He goes ahead of us to pave the way, you know. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Therefore, do not fear or be dismayed. Is that a good verse? That he is with us. And all we have to do is to follow him again. Isaiah 45:2, I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. You know, we have the privilege of speaking to hundreds of kids. You know, people often say, you go down to the Bahamas and you're suffering for Jesus' sake because we go down there in the winter. I don't know if some of you would like to be down there in the winter. It is hot. And there's no air conditioning. So, yeah, you could take out the part Jesus for Jesus' sake and just put the word suffering. You know, we're not used to that. You go down there and it's hot. Anyway, so what do we have to do? Well, Karen does the brunt of it, you know. She, days before we go, she has to pack the suitcases with the clothes. That means she's got to get the wall ready, nice and pressed and all that stuff. She's the expert packer. She makes use of every little tiny space. I get my equipment ready and try to figure out what magic tricks I'm going to bring and some of these other things. Then we pack it, and the things are heavy. And we got to carry three of those suitcases, bring them down, and the dopey plane that we go on leaves at 5 o'clock in the morning. So we have to get down there at 4 o'clock. And the seats are getting smaller all the time that you sit in. And it's like cattle going into a stall or something, you know, they push them in. There we are. And then sometimes, like last time we went, I should say the last time we didn't went, because the plane didn't go. And finally, when it did go, we missed our next flight, you know. So that's always in our mind. Are we going to get there in time to make the next connection? And then so on, so forth, so on. But that's just like a little anthill compared to what some of these missionaries have to go through and some of these people that, who are Christians that are facing death and they have to go through sorrow and torment and so much. Big mountains compared to our little tiny anthill, you see. But it says, the Lord will go before you. And let's see, where was I here? And he'll make the rough places smooth. So I'm sure that you have some rough places. When you trust the Lord, he will make them smooth, you see. Psalm 139, verse 5 says, you go before me and follow me. So he goes before us again. Well, we'll skip some of these. I have a few more. But we'll talk about God being behind us. Sneak attack. Satan likes to do that, sneak up behind you, you know, and attack. We always look forward. We don't look to the sides and certainly not to the back. And we're vulnerable. And yet we have to recognize that God is there too. For the Lord will go before you, says in Isaiah, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. It is a good one. I like this one here. It says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to those, so that one came not near the other all the night. So we see that God provides the light for us. Light unto my path, we sang that. He provides a light. To those who don't know the Lord are still in darkness. But there can be no harm unless God suddenly permits things to happen, because he's there to guide us, even though he is behind us. Now, one other thing. Psalm 121:8 says, the Lord will keep watch over you. You're going out, you're coming in from this time forth. You know, when he's over us, what does he do? He looks down. And when he looks down, he sees everything about you. And once again, he's there in front of you, he's there to the left of you, to the right, and behind to take care of you. I was going to say something about following, but we will not. Well, it's a good story just to say. I heard this on the radio years ago. How many of you have ever heard Gene Shepherd tell a story on the radio? Gene Shepherd? Well, he is an excellent storyteller. But he told one day about how he played the big bass drum in the high school band. And he gyp practiced. And he did not really know what was going to happen during the football game at halftime, because they changed a few things. And so they were marching away, you know. Here he was beating the drum. And the fellow who was in front, he provided the order, and they went and turned left. But he didn't know this because he was not at the practice. And he did not hear the command either, because he was pounding that big bass drum. And everybody turned left, and he kept going, boom, boom, boom. And he kept marching on, even though the others turned left. And you know, he was the laughing stock. He was a fool, because he did not follow the command, you see. Just a little story, how important it is to follow the leader. And we ought to do that. And finally, we just want to mention the heart, the center. Talked about left, right, forwards and backwards and so on, up and down. But who is in the heart? That is the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. When you have a problem and sadness enters in, he is your comforter. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right there in the center, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. It says the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. And perhaps that is coming soon, where we're confronted by evil. And suddenly there we are, thrust before people who are evil. And yet God teaches us at that very hour what we can say to these people. We don't have to think beforehand, but just then he will teach us what to say. But you know something? We have to know his word in order for God to use us, you see. The Holy Spirit is your guide. But whom he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. So he is your guide. And then finally, the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord in your life. Is this true? Are you allowing him to do this? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So this is the job of the Holy Spirit. In our lives, he glorifies Jesus Christ through us. So I say, oh, there is just one more. In Deuteronomy 33:27, it says, underneath are the everlasting arms. He takes a hold of you, keeps you together from falling apart at the seams. You know, in Paul's time, when he was being shipwrecked, they said that they undergirded the ship. What did they do? Well, they get these big tables, and they put it under the ship somehow, and they bring it up, and by a winch they would turn them till it was tight, and this would keep the ship together. And again, this is the job of the Holy Spirit, to keep us from falling apart spiritually, but to keep our eyes on the Lord as Savior. So, in closing, we are to keep our eyes on the Lord, to follow Him. We're certainly glad that we are His sheep, that one day we will be in His presence. We will not be left behind like the goats to finally end up in the lake of fire. And we are to listen to the Holy Spirit. And the only way that will be possible is when we get into God's Word and we read it. And not only read it, but we contemplate on what we have read so that we can apply it to our lives. And when we do, then we're going to follow the Lord Jesus. And He's going to lead us to people that need to hear the gospel. And we'll be able to proclaim God's Word to them. And from these people that are headed towards the lake of fire, there'll be those here, there, and there that will come to know the Lord because of your and my faithful witness. So remember that God's Word is the book that we are to follow, because every word in here is true. And when we do, God will bless, because we will be serving the living Word, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray. Lord, again, so many things are in your Word there about being right before you. And Lord, we want to be followers of you. And so we pray, O God, that you will direct our steps, that we might honor you in these days, because these are the last days, and we know you want us to be your witnesses. You told us that, not just because we should be, but because you said that we ought to be. So God bless us, we pray, this particular church, Lord, a real lighthouse in this area. Pray for Pastor that you direct his steps, and these meetings that have come this week, may your name be glorified too, and we see boys and girls come to know the Lord. Please, Lord, we pray that you bring out many kids, for they need thee, we know. In Jesus' name, amen.